Hello and welcome to this episode of the India Dunn & Company podcast. I apologize, I have a huskier than normal voice, I have a little bit of a head cold. And also, this episode, the sound is a little bit off and I wanted to apologize for that. My voice is very loud and Aaron's is not. So bear with us, it's a great conversation and thoroughly enjoyed this episode, and so with no further ado, I'd love to introduce you to Erin Svalstad. She is a makeup artist and stylist who has worked on an incredible amount of people through production and set work, from Kim Kardashian to Drew Brees, Deepak Chopra to the B-52s. She's become very well known for her work with ESPN. And their portfolio of nude athletes in their most famous postures and positions. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's incredible. So here's Erin, and I hope you enjoy. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to the India Dunn & Company podcast. Today, my guest is makeup artist and stylist, Erin Svalstad. Thank you so much for joining me and my listeners today. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. It's a treat.
Well, it's definitely a treat for me, and I know it will be for the people that are listening. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your history.
Okay. I am 41 years old, not 14. I know it sounds like a child on the phone. I grew up in Indiana in a really small town, so if you would have told 9-year-old me that I would be working with celebrities, I don't think I would have believed you. I've been in Southern California for about 15 years and doing makeup, I think 12 of those years. I mostly work in production. I don't really do event makeup anymore here. I'm mostly advertising, editorial. It's been kind of a crazy journey, but I really enjoy it, and I think I've been pretty successful.
I would say so. I mean, you know, I've definitely said in the introduction, you've worked on people from, you know, Kim Kardashian to Chris Isaac, and, you know, Deepak Chopra to, mm-hmm. I mean, ad infinitum. There's a lot of amazing people that you've had an opportunity to work with. Sure. What does it, you know, feel like when you're working with such a wide range of people? How did you develop a personality that works so well with all of these different types of people?
I gotta say, it all comes down to something that my dad said as I was growing up. Everybody puts their pants on the same way. Everybody's equal. And I learned
that's awesome.
I learned early on when I started working with, you know, singers and actors, that really what people want is just to be treated normally. They don't want to talk about, you know, how great they are and how much you love what they've done. They really would just love to have a normal conversation about TV or music or something going on in the world. That's been my experience anyway. Of course, there are awesome people that break that mold, but that's
right.
It's been my experience.
And when you decided to become a makeup artist, what's the history of your education?
That's the funny part is, you know, I was always a kid that did well in school, and I think I was just expected to go to a 4-year university, which I did, and I'm very grateful to my parents for supporting me through that. but I started out working as a copywriter in a couple of different ad agencies. And one of the first agencies I worked for, went to a photo shoot, and there was a makeup artist there. And I was absolutely blown away that somebody could get paid to do that and to connect with people on such a real basis and, you know, make them feel comfortable and look beautiful and camera ready. And I think there was something about that experience that kind of stuck in my brain. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe someday if I could just figure it out, I could do that too. But yeah, and so it wasn't until I moved to San Diego and I actually got laid off from an agency where I just kind of hit the brakes and I was like, you know what? I think I would like to try something very different. And luckily cool. I had a super supportive husband who didn't even know what it was to be a makeup artist. But, you know, with his support, I went up to Los Angeles and went to makeup school and really started working right away. I worked very hard. I worked for free. I stumbled upon right? some accidental porn shoots.
OMG. Yeah, no way.
Model Mayhem.
Oh.
The 2000s. People warned me about that, but I still got tricked.
Wow.
I back then. So.
Oh my gosh. Los Angeles is such a motley crew. Jeez yeah. Louise.
Woodland Hills. Stay away.
Jeez. So, I mean, what was that like for you, and how did you start to feel your worth when you were working for free and just trying to get as much experience as you could? When did you really start to see, like, okay, I've got some amazing experience under my belt. Like, I can start charging what I'm worth and asking for the work that I want.
I think it, you know, just getting repeat clients that told me that I was doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
The same people asking me to come back for more, to do harder things, to work longer jobs, that told me that, okay, you know, I might not be perfect. Nobody's perfect, but I'm getting this, you know, and it being on a set is something that I think a lot of people either love or hate. You know, I fell in love with it. The first set I was on, I was like, this forever, please. I love the teamwork of it. I love the crazy cast of characters that you meet. Like, I call it the land of misfit toys. I think I actually got that quote.
Totally.
I got that quote from Drew Barrymore, but she nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, people are just so interesting. The crew members mostly, not usually the talent. But the other crew members, they're just like fascinating people and they're fun and people want to be around them. And that's why they keep getting rehired. So yeah,
interesting.
It's like a drug for me to be on a set. I don't do drugs, but I like to be on a set.
Sets, not drugs.
Yeah.
So how did you feel when you were first going into that? Did you have a lot of anxiety? Did you feel apprehensive? Like, what bolstered your confidence to step into that world over and over again?
I've always been like a career risk taker and kind of like a personal life risk taker. I don't do drugs. I'm pretty straight and narrow, like with my body, I guess. but like personally and professionally, I have always been a bit of a risk taker. And so I think I just kind of had a, like, what do I have to lose attitude, you know, like
amazing.
I don't know. It's not something that everybody has. And I worry that my own kids aren't enough of a risk taker. That's like I think we've talked about this. It's a big fear of mine that they're not going to take enough risks in life. But I think I was just kind of like, why not? And, you know, once you do start making money, you can kind of figure out what you're worth and make that a requirement. Okay, you want me for 10 hours, then you're going to have to pay this.
Yeah.
You know, I value my time. Usually I'm driving up to LA. That's travel time. I have a kit fee. Makeup doesn't grow on trees, you know, gas doesn't just come out of nowhere. You have to pay for all the things that are included in you.
And when did you have the realization early on, or did it take you a while to understand that part of that price tag is who you are as a person, as an artist?
Yeah. I had something weird happen a couple of years ago. I don't know if this is exactly the answer to your question, but but I've been thinking about it recently. I got a call from a producer who said, I've heard of you, and I heard that things just go well when you're around. And so I was wondering if you could just come up for a photo shoot and set the vibe.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
And I was very flattered, and I, you know, I talked to my husband about it, and he's like, well, you need to charge what do you think a vibe costs? And so I bid high, and she took it, but the Photoshop, the shoot ended up getting canceled. But still, that in my head, mm-hmm. I was like, wait, I'm just getting paid to be somewhere and not actually do makeup, you know, just like to make a playlist and make sure that people are happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Am I a waitress? Am I a DJ? I don't know. But that was very telling to me, like, oh, I really do have more to offer than just makeup and hair. Does that make sense?
Completely. And I think that, you know, so, you know, my whole thing is adapting a presence to each situation, you know, that there's a self-awareness and an intuitive creative flow enough that we can come into a situation without anxiety, insecurity, and presumption, you know, the thought process of what's going to happen and what's in the way, we can get that stuff, you know, removed. And we walk into a situation, into a job or into our salons, you know, with this really incredible availability to be mm-hmm. in the moment and be in the experience. Yeah. We bring our presence, yes, instead of all of the anxiety and the, you know, the energy that then kind of blocks us from having a new experience. Mm-hmm. Do you have a practice, or do you incorporate certain things into your work, your daily work, your, you know, weekly life, so that you have certain space, amount of room to show up with when you go on a job?
I've been paying attention to this recently. I was just working yesterday, and I realized that I don't take any phone calls, you know, on the way to a shoot or on the way home. And sometimes I sit in silence. I'm very comfortable in silence. I don't know if everybody is, but I just kind of like clear my brain, I guess. And, you know, one of the other my job is that I am always meeting new people, and intoxicating for me. I love hearing people's stories and what they're
mm-hmm.
I clear that space in my head to
make room for them. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's funny because I never thought about it. And yesterday on the way up, I was working in Carlsbad, and I was like, oh, this is what I do.
So, wait, you cut out just a little bit. You were on your way to Carlsbad, and what was that?
Oh, I was going to Carlsbad for a shoot, and I hadn't even realized that was some part of my routine. And I knew that I was going to be talking to you today, and I was like, oh, this, I actually do have a routine, and I didn't even think about it.
That's awesome. And I love that, making room, making space, you know, and the silence being the space that we create for those who we're going to be in incorporating, you know, our creative flow with. And I think, you know, to me, I like to think about the energy that we're sharing with people as a continuum. And if I can make space for that energy to kind of flow through me, that creates a better continuum for us to create together. It's a co-creative process. You know, we're collaborating, because right. I need to feel that person's you know, desire for outcome. You know, transforming vanity into beauty, and you know, creating a visual of what their intention is for this, you know, this moment, whatever, you know, the shoot or the day.
Mm-hmm. I think on that note, what I feel like I bring best to the table is mm-hmm. comfort. I think I have a comforting presence, and I can make people feel, who are amped up, who are not getting their lines correct, if, you know, like, they're bloated for their period, you know, like, I don't know how, but I can somehow make them feel at ease in front of the camera. And I might not be the best makeup artist in the world technically, but I know that that is something that I bring to a shoot.
So knowing that about yourself, have you investigated or thought about, you know, what that sense is, that sensitivity, whether it's, you know, being an empath or a highly sensitive person? Do you know that about yourself?
I do know that about myself. Yes, I am a highly sensitive person. I always have been. Some days it's more of a curse than a blessing, but it's, you know, it's real.
It's real. And I mean, I think, you know, when I ask people to investigate what they bring to their portion of the industry, you know, whether they're behind the chair, they're doing production work like you or stylist work, you know, what is it about you that is, you know, like unabashed self-love? What's special? What's different? What's unique? Not, you know, your talent necessarily, but the fact that, you know, you can listen well, you laugh genuinely, you show up authentically, you know, and I do think that that is something that is this innate ability to be more empathic and compassionate. And that's why I call us creative compassionates, you know, people who are serving others through their creativity. Yeah. And that is, I think that's the presence, you know, that's the vibe that you're bringing. Yeah. But it's something that, you know, we're still figuring out how to even label it, speak it into, you know, language.
Yeah.
And then how do I go ahead and say, yeah, I have this ability. Now, how do I charge for it?
Yeah.
Because you know, you just said it, that, you know, producer said, I just want you to be there because I hear things go well when you are on set.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it hasn't always been the case. I don't want everybody to think that every shoot I've ever gone to is
right.
I do have horror stories, but yeah, I you know, but I didn't even know what an intuitive empath was 6 years ago. I really didn't.
Right.
I just happened to have somebody in my life who is also an intuitive empath, and she's been really important to me. She's a massage therapist, but she's also a friend, and she's really kind of spelled things out for me and has been really helpful. And honestly, you've been really helpful too.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's something that you and I talk about a lot. And I consider myself a baby empath. I don't really know. A lot of times I just always go with my gut.
Mm-hmm.
It never fails me ever.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the learning process is the more you listen to it and the more it shows up, you know, as not necessarily, it doesn't even be positive or negative. It just shows up as the right thing or the next thing, an indication maybe, mm-hmm. you know, that's where we get the affirmation, you know, one moment falls into the next and it fits.
Yeah.
What do you do when things don't feel good, you know, on the set and you feel like there's some incongruencies that you can't quite put your finger on?
I'm not proud of this. I need to hide a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I was remembering a shoot yesterday we did a pilot for Comedy Central and it did not get picked up. This is one of several pilots I did for Comedy Central. It did not get picked up. And we had 12 girls and I didn't have an assistant.
Oof.
And it was brutal. They needed a lot of love.
Oh man.
And there was a lot of pill popping that was going on.
Oh.
And so this one girl kind of took a shine to me and she just wouldn't leave me alone. And I remember we were shooting in Los Angeles and I just had to leave. And so I went down behind these I don't, it was like a giant curtain, and I was just hiding because I just needed to be away from this one person. And then I looked over and there was another like gripped guy who was also hiding. And we just kind of looked at each other because the whole shoot was just such a disaster and everybody was so unhappy. We were all hiding from each other.
Oh my God.
Oh. Yeah. Like I said, they're not all rosy. Like, they're not all magical shoots.
But then still, it's awesome that you knew what you needed to do.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just like pushing through it and getting, you know, more agitated and more agitated and then just it escalating.
Yes. Yeah. I don't really get to that point. I think I have enough, you know, defense or mechanisms to kind of stop it before I'm not really a freak out. Yeah, that's not really how I operate. But yeah, you know what happens being a highly intuitive person? This I don't like, but I get skin
oh
rashes.
My gosh.
Yeah, like that's where I really struggle with difficult personalities. Like I'm starting to realize if I'm around a person or a situation that's really bad, I will break out in eczema all over my body. So, yeah. So just trying to avoid it, you know, just minimal amounts of time. It's really difficult. People are... Does that apply to what you asked me?
Yeah, yeah. You just cut out a little bit. No, and I think that, you know, it's us learning, you know, it's... trial by fire, really, I think, with this empathic nature that we as creatives carry, that, you know, we have to figure out along the way, okay, that really was not good, or that did not feel comfortable, or yeah. I'm having a reaction. How do I support my body, my spirit, myself? Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, it's just recent that we're getting so much more information about how to support ourselves as energy conduits, really, you know, because what you're processing and what's coming out on your skin, you know, you're filtering the energy around you.
Right. Well, your skin is the barrier between the outside world and your emotions. And I've found that it's just my skin saying, no, this
is not good.
Very off right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So with self-care, like you've told us how you prepare and how you, you know, kind of do the letdown, you know, the silence after a job. In between then, you know, what do you do for yourself? Do you write? Do you, you know, get Reiki, you know, like ad infinitum, all the different things that we can do for ourselves now as energetic healers and artists. What do you do for yourself that you find has really helped?
You know, exercise is great for me. I've been climbing Cow's Mountain a lot.
That's wow.
The highest point in San Diego. That's just being outside is really great. You know, grounding techniques. I do see an acupuncturist on occasion. She's really helpful. And this gal that I was talking about, the woman who's kind of my empathic mentor, we talk every now and then. I talk to you. So, yeah, my husband is incredible. He's so generous with his emotions and time, and he's always willing to talk about these things with me. So I have that built-in support system at home.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's really, really incredible.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, if you've thought about mentoring in the past, you know, if you were to have someone who was coming up in the world, you know, of makeup and wanting to do set work, you know, is there something that you feel like you did in the beginning that really helped you kind of catapult into where you are now?
It's funny you brought that up. That is not where I shine, being a mentor. I'm a terrible boss. Not good. But if you have listeners who want to get into this line of work, The first thing I would tell you is just be easy to be around. You know, be a team player. Help the stylist hang things up if you're done getting your makeup ready. You know, help the set people
contribute. Yeah.
Pitch in. Be a team player, you know, just it is the ultimate team sport to work in production. And you know, you either figure it out right away or you don't. It's I don't know, it's kind of simple in a way.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
So with that being said, when you think about some of the bigger shoots that you have been on, I mean, can you share some of your experience, like what it's been like working around these incredible athletes with ESPN and having them be naked?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. The first one I did was 5 years ago, I think. We did it in Solana Beach on the beach. He was a top rugby player and it was a little weird. I'm not going to lie. Like the first half hour of the shoot was like, oh my gosh, cannot believe this guy is naked. Like so crazy. But I think I've done 17 of them now, like 17 wow. naked people. And it just gets less and less weird every time. It really does. Like it's totally a job at this point.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And I've really only had one or two people that were incredibly uncomfortable. The women are always more comfortable than the men, but
interesting.
We had one that would not take off his underwear, which made it much worse. It's just better if you're naked. And he was a very difficult personality. I'm not going to name names.
Yeah.
And then one guy was, I don't know. He was just so nervous, I guess, to take it all off. And he ended up doing awesome shots, but just getting him calmed down was probably my hardest one. Just to try to take that energy from him was tricky.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I can only imagine, you know, who knows what that feels like to be that vulnerable, you know?
Yes.
I couldn't put myself in their shoes.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to know like a funny little tidbit, sometimes we have alcohol on the set and I found that it's not the best thing to have.
I can only imagine.
In a couple of cases it's been helpful, but in a couple other cases it was like in the eyes look.
Yes, like, right.
You can look at editorials and know when people have been drinking. Like they get this kind of far away look in the eye. I can't really put my finger on it, but yeah, and these athletes are always doing the moves that they're famous for. So it's not like it's they're just posing, like they're actually exercising. So if you add alcohol to that, it's not always a good thing.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I've been so lucky with ESPN. Like it's been an incredible opportunity that I've been allowed to have. And some of my most fun memories, really, that I've ever had working have been with them. We go to all these crazy places and shoot with the top photographers in the world and top athletes in the world. So, yeah, it's really been a gift, and I'm grateful for it every day.
It's an incredible experience. I mean, just, you know, what you get to take away from where you are and who you're with. And so when you kind of, you know, come home and settle back into your, you know, driving the kids to their events and school and doing the housewife thing, you know, how do you feel that adds to you as being a contribution to your family and your community?
It's funny, you know, I don't talk about it a ton. I don't think.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it's I guess now that I'm kind of breaking it down, it just kind of feels like something I'm supposed to do. You know, yeah. It just feels yeah. like a part of me that is, that's just what I do. And yeah, I'm a swim mom of 4 nights a week when I'm not working. And, you know, I'm PTA vice president.
That's the best one.
I still do not know how that happened. I don't know.
Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah.
I think part of it is that I really want people to know how much better off they are having multiple layers of artistic expression. Mm. And that you being able to go out into the world as that woman mm-hmm. Makes you a better mom, makes you a better wife and a friend. And, yeah. you know, that you're capable of showing up in a different way as a result of the experiences that you are having.
Yeah, I tell my girls, because they really don't like it when I travel for work.
Yeah. But
I tell them, all I want for you in life is to have... You know, I want them to have whatever family is going to work for them. That's, you know, happiness and health. Yeah. But I also say, I get to do what I love. I get to see parts of the world that, you know, people pay me to fly places. And like, I was just in Mexico last week for 5 days on a shoot. And, you know, being at a 5-star resort that we were shooting. And like, it's incredible. I get paid yeah. to do what I love. And, you know, like I said, they're not all amazing shoots like that, but I don't lose sight of the fact that I'm incredibly, you know, lucky, and, you know, I work really hard, and I have that. I get to do what I love and get paid for it. And that's what I say to my girls. So whatever line of work they choose to do, just hope that it's something way. And they're compensated accordingly, you know?
Right, right. That's a great way to put it. Compensated accordingly.
Yeah.
Well, and I do believe, I mean, being the mother of a girl as well, that the more I shine in my life, you know, the more I step into my true nature, you know, whether that's through helping others or being an artist or speaking up or reaching people that I wouldn't normally, you know, be around, that I hope I'm setting an example for her that she can be empowered in many different ways.
Yes.
You know, that it's not, you know, cookie cutter anymore. We don't have to, you know, like you said, you fulfilled your, you know, your 4-year college and did all of the things that you were supposed to do. And luckily for you, you found an avenue into your creative nature mm-hmm. just by happenstance, you know,
yeah,
synchronicity.
Yeah.
But giving them the opportunity to see that we can be empowered more by being true to ourselves than by being what we're supposed to be or yeah, being, you know, what we're told to be.
Absolutely. That's so important. It's so important. And I think as parents, you know, we have to, my own parents did a really good thing. Like, okay, well, that's what you want to do. As long as you give it a full day of hard work, you know, mm-hmm. that's what my dad always said, like, give the people that are paying you a hard day's work. And, you know, I don't think they were thrilled. I told them that this career change. I went to an out-of-state college. It wasn't cheap, but they've been super supportive, and I'm super happy, and I've made more successful doing this than I ever would have if I would have used my degree as a copywriter.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, it obviously, you know, our stories have happy existence. Mm-hmm. As of right now, and it would be different if we weren't successful. But I don't look at success the same way that I used to, and I'm glad that I've you know, rearranged my thought process around it, because I definitely have had those moments where I've wondered, you know, did I make the right choice? Did I, should I, could have, you know, should have, could have, would have kind of thing, where I'm looking back at some of the choices that I made and wishing that I might have taken a different path and I would be more successful, more seen. But I would also then not have the experiences that I have and the life that I have, where I live in happiness and joy and, mm-hmm. you know, have the people around me that I do. Do you ever think about, you know, do you wish that you were more famous, or do you think if I had only made this choice instead, I would be where that person is? You know, if there's a someone that you kind of put on a pedestal and think about their life in comparison to yours.
I don't. I really don't. And I mean that honestly. I have like hardly any following, and that's fine with me. I've never wanted to be in the spotlight. I'm strictly behind the scenes gal. But I'm the last couple of years, I think turning 40 was like, I'm happy to be healthy and mm-hmm. have an amazing family, my kids, my husband, and I get enough work to fulfill me, and I get to watch my kids grow up. I have that flexibility where I can be with them a lot of the time. You know, the work ebbs and flows. It's really busy right now, but over the summer it tends to be kind of quiet and I can just really focus on my kids. So I really just try to appreciate where I am and never lose sight of the fact that I get to work in an industry that is incredible and fun and entertaining and, you know, interesting. So I'm just grateful more than anything else that I've had this much success and I've been able to do the things that I have been.
I hear you.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Do you ever think about what you might want to change about the industry, or if you could advocate to see some things, you know, evolve, what would that be?
I actually feel like things have changed for the better in the last couple of years. Cool. You know, I feel like the stuff that I'm working on, the advertising, the editorial, people really want more of a natural look. They're casting people with real bodies, real skin problems, you know, real hair. Like, I feel like in general that maybe this has been the best thing to come from reality TV is that people actually want to see real people and cellulite.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, people of appropriate ages. I feel like there's just been kind of a push for more realness. And maybe that's just in what I'm doing. I don't know. But also the makeup is changing a little bit. I think there's more of a push for organic makeup and less toxic stuff. But yeah, of course, I have two daughters. I think about my work and the message that I'm sending them. Am I sending my kids the message that women aren't good enough and I have to make them better and fix them? I worry about that all the time, but I won't do makeup on kids, and everybody that I work with knows that. I'll braid the hair as much as I can. I mean, they'll look like Khaleesi from Game of Thrones by the time I'm done. But I will not put makeup on kids unless it's chapstick and sunblock. Yes.
Yes. Right.
But yeah, of course I worry about it all the time. That's probably the worst part of the job, is the message that I'm sending to girls, especially.
And how does it feel when you're communicating to someone that, you know, they might not want the same things that the producer wants? How do you talk them out of that?
Well, that just happened yesterday, actually. I had a girl and I was like, you know, this isn't a glamour shot, right? Like, this is, you're supposed to look like a nursing student. So we're going to go with a real natural look. And she's fine with it. You just have to manage people's expectations. And usually they know what they're getting into when they're casted. So, yeah.
And what would you say is like your favorite thing to do when you think about all the different jobs that you've had?
I like doing older ladies' makeup.
Hmm.
That brings me joy.
Is it the transformation that they end up seeing? Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like holding a mirror up to them and showing them what they look like 20 years ago. I worked in live TV for 8 years, and we had a lot of older people. It was at the local PBS station, and we had a lot of older ladies that would come in, and that was real joy that I could give to people. It's just making them feel amazing when we live in Southern California and we're, you know, surrounded by youth and beauty. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was really making people feel good. So I like doing older, wrinkles don't scare me. Give That's me some cool. eye bags.
Oh, I just think that's the best, though. You know, I love the transformative aspects of what we do, and being able to have someone see themselves through our eyes.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody said somebody's being loud. You're showing people the way God made them. I think I told you that. That's what makeup artists do. They make people the way God sees them.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Erin, I love talking to you. I think you're amazing in your ability to communicate, you know, what it is that we're doing, to see it for all its different layers and aspects. And I'm glad that you've been able to find for yourself, you know, what you can do to support yourself, protect yourself, you know, creating healthy boundaries, you know, all the different things that we have to do to really be successful, I think, in our industry, when we're working so closely with other human beings in such an intimate way, is dealing with beauty and vanity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And that's, you know, that's why I wanted to have you on the podcast and speak openly and honestly about how you work.
Thank you.
You know,
not really thinking about why I do the things I do. You know, you just normally you just do things, but it's like giving me a better understanding of myself in some ways.
Awesome.
So thank you for that. Thank you.
You're so welcome. You know, and I think that, you know, the more that we have these conversations with each other, the more kind of we shine light into the deeper aspects of our work. It's always a good idea to talk about it and to bring it into a more communal space.
Yeah.
So. Thank you for contributing your time today.
Thank you for having me. It's been really fun. I really appreciate it. And I love this podcast. So I'm honored that you asked me to be a part of it.
Yay. Thank you so much. I love that. The more the merrier. Well, yeah. Pass it on.
Yes.
Erin, how can people find you?
Oh, I mean, it's not that hard. But again, hey, everybody, just manage your expectations. Okay. My really bad. I mean, honestly, it's like really bad, but it's just my name. It's Erin Stead on Instagram, and I have a website if you want to email me and we can talk empathy and makeup.
And spell your last name for us.
Oh yeah, here we go. It's S like Sam, V like Victor, A Apple, L Larry, S Sam, T Tom, A Apple, D Daniel, and my first name's Erin, Erin.
And you can Google her, and it's the second name that you'll find.
The second?
Second or first, I can't remember, but it was right there on the top.
Oh, yeah. I think I might be the only Erin Svalstad, but.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
The one and only. I can actually say that in the intro. I love it. Yes. The one and only Erin Svalstad.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I adore you. I love you. And I appreciate you in this world. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Oh, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Yes, you too. Happy Thanksgiving. And I love you. And thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Again, thank you for tuning in to this interview with Erin. If you would like to find her on Instagram, she is at Erin Svalstad or erinsvalstad.com. erinsvalstad.com. And if you have a moment, leave a review. I would love to hear from you. And give me some stars if you like, and subscribe so you'll be the first one to know who's up next for an interview on the India Dunn Company podcast. Have a great day.